Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators, a podcast for translators by translators, bringing you simple strategies to build better habits. In each episode, we'll focus on specific habits for translators in various stages of their careers. If you're a translator who enjoys learning about habits to improve your business and lifestyle, then this is the podcast for you. We're your hosts, Madalena Sanchez-Zampalo
and Veronica De Michelis. Like you, we are professional freelance translators trying to balance the challenges that come with building a career and maintaining clarity and boundaries between work and personal life. We hope you'll join us in this conversation about smart habits and discover some simple strategies you can apply today to help you build your career and achieve the lifestyle you desire.
Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators. This is episode 57, and today we want to chat with you about something that probably gives us all some grief in our business at one time or another. Before we do, we realize that we haven't shared what's new with us in a while, so let's start with that. So what's new with me? So I'm gearing up for the end of the year. I'm very excited about finishing out this year and making plans for 2022. At the time that we're recording this, we have our fourth quarter virtual business retreat for the podcast, and we have lots of people signed up for that. So I'm excited that we're going to be doing that this week. I've also been working on some new webinars and courses that I'm going to be giving in the new year. And I'm giving one later this week on web copy for translators and interpreters. So that's this Friday at the time that we're recording. Mm-hmm. So I've got a bunch of people signed up for that, which I'm really happy about, talking to them about their copy for their websites, LinkedIn profiles, and anywhere else they show up online. And then I've been working on some fun client projects lately, especially some copywriting projects, in addition to working with the project managers in my agency business. So we've been sort of keeping busy and also trying to make plans for next year. And it's just a tight timeline, right? Because it's right before the holidays. And then, of course, I just became president of the American Translators Association. So with that comes a lot of additional work, but good stuff. And yeah, just getting excited for the holidays and taking a little break before the new year starts. What about you? Mm. What's new?
Yeah, it seems like a lot. but maybe it's because we're recording this is, you know, it's like the last episode of the year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm so excited that we launched the virtual business retreats through the podcast. Mm-hmm. It's been so fun to work with colleagues and in a small group setting and just see what challenges people tend to struggle with and how we can overcome them and, you know, what ideas does the group have for each other. Mm-hmm. So that's been really nice. And then since we last shared our updates, the biggest news for me was attending the ATA annual conference in Minneapolis. It was just, I mean, the biggest news in terms of just how much, I guess, happy energy and just good memories I have from that week. Mm-hmm. It was just so nice to see you and many colleagues and friends in person and connect with people virtually since it was a hybrid event. It was really an amazing event. So congrats to you as the conference organizer.
Thanks.
And then I had the pleasure of presenting a session on localization, which was really fun. And maybe the biggest highlight was getting elected as president-elect. So yeah. I'm really honored and excited to work in this role. That'd be fun. And then after the conference, I had planned to take, you know, maybe the week kind of slow and, you know, recover, but then I had to onboard, not had to. It was really nice. I had several clients approach me right after the conference. So I onboarded several new clients and have been busy with new translation and localization projects. So it's been
cool.
It's been fun, but very, very busy.
Mm-hmm.
I completed an SEO translation course by Teresa Souza, mm-hmm. Which I highly recommend. It was one of the things I wanted to do this year was to learn more about SEO translation. So that was really helpful.
Cool.
And now I'm getting ready for the spring semester at Houston Community College, where I will be teaching three courses January through March. So that is fun as well. And I'm now wrapping up work to take a couple of weeks off during the holidays. I'm really looking forward to just spending time with family and relaxing.
Yes, excellent. Okay, and now let's get into the meat of today's episode. Having a freelance business means that you depend quite a bit on your email inbox. At least we know that we do. And you probably correspond with most of your clients via email as well as with colleagues and others who tend to reach out, you know, with important information or to ask you questions and so on. But it's really easy to let your inbox take over your work life and maybe your home life too. And so we know that we've felt this way on and off through the years, especially as email quickly took over as the main form of communications. So today we wanted to share our thoughts and tips on managing your inbox so that it doesn't manage you. And so this is actually a very timely topic. We were just talking earlier about our inboxes, and for me, it seems to be constantly overflowing. And I am somebody who likes to keep my inbox at zero as much as possible. Anybody who's got one of those inboxes with the little red number, you know, like on the iPhone or iPad or something that's got like this crazy number of emails in it gives me complete anxiety.
Yes.
So I try to zero it out every day, but knowing that the next day there will just be more. I was in a meeting the other day with a colleague, and just in the first 15 minutes of talking to her, I already had about 10 emails into my inbox. It is a little bit crazy. I could live in my inbox. And so that's one of the reasons I was thinking, like, this is such a timely topic. But we know we shouldn't live in our inboxes, right? It's not healthy to constantly be absorbing all that kind of information, no matter what it is. It's just too much. And our brains were not made to constantly have new information thrown at us, issues or not, you know, no matter what it is. And so something that I think is worth doing is setting some parameters around your usage of your inbox, which I think we're going to get into a little bit more. But that is something I've tried really hard to do for myself, is to set certain times for just to handle things that are in my inbox, which is some days easier said than done. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's interesting because I, as I was preparing for this episode we're recording, I was thinking back, you know, a few years ago, and I felt at the time, especially when I switched from working in-house to being a freelancer, I felt like the biggest challenge for me working in-house in a corporate job was meetings. I felt like, oh my gosh, meetings every day. I have no time to do my actual work. And now I feel like it's email.
For me, it's both.
Well, it's just so much email coming in.
Yeah.
And the more you do, the more email you get in.
Yep.
And I'm the same way. If, you know, I try to keep my inbox organized and keep the number of emails as low as possible. And I just noticed, I know myself, a disorganized inbox has the same effect on me as any other clutter around me, like a, you know, disorganized desk or drawers or, you know, shelves. I have trouble focusing on the task at hand if stuff around me is messy. I like things neat and organized, so I definitely feel more productive when my inbox is under control or when I feel that I am in control of my inbox. So to me, I know we'll share many tips and strategies that work for us and also admit what doesn't work. For me, the biggest thing is to remind myself every single day that I should not let my inbox, my email, take over my day. The way I do it is I write down the most important tasks for the day and I just stick to that list religiously.
I do that, but I'm not as religious about it. I should be.
And some days are harder than ours, but I know especially when I have work deadlines, actual, you know, paying work, things I need to turn in or really important tasks where people depend on me. Especially I try and focus on the tasks that are really going to push me forward towards the business goal, you know, work-related goal. And usually email is never one of those tasks. It's more of a, you know, it's either admin or it supports a goal perhaps, but it's not your primary task. So I try and it's hard, but I remind myself every day that checking email and responding to email has its place in the queue and it should stick to its place. Otherwise, I know myself, and I have good days and bad days too. And I know I can spend all day in my email and not get anywhere.
Yep.
So that's what I think about this topic. And it is really timely. So where to start first? Well, I think it's important to consider what you receive in your inbox, or maybe that's plural, inboxes. That's the case for me as well. I have several. Mm-hmm. I have a personal inbox. I have a work-related inbox. Have a joint inbox with my husband and we also use it for advertising or commercial things you have to sign up for, mm-hmm. With newsletters and discounts and whatever, neighborhood alerts and so on. And then I have another one that's related to the college where I teach. Mm-hmm. So it's important to take a quick audit of what it is that you receive and send on a regular basis and determine if it's at all necessary, because so many of us receive message after message from the same company or individual that goes unread. So it's a good idea to consider whether it's time to unsubscribe or delete these messages when they hit your inbox. And if you find yourself deleting messages from the same sender over and over, it's probably time to end that digital relationship. And that's okay. Maybe those emails served you at one point in your business or life and they don't anymore. And it's fine, because these things change. So I do that too when I notice, when I start noticing a pattern with emails like these that I never read or that I delete right away. Mm-hmm. If it happens over and over, take a second to hit that unsubscribe button. And I also unsubscribe from emails like these towards the end of the year. So I've been doing it this week a lot. Anything that lands in my social or promotions folder in Gmail or G Suite, I know if I never read it, if I delete it right away, I don't need this stuff. So mm-hmm. I just hit unsubscribe. And if it's a lot, usually, it's in some inboxes, it's a lot of stuff like this. So just tell yourself you'll do 10 a day or whatever, 10 a week. You'll just unsubscribe from, give yourself a number and stick to it. And it's especially helpful, I find, before a vacation or before the holidays, because once you come back, it helps your inbox be a little less overwhelming that you don't have thousands of emails there. And maybe, 2/3 of those are just commercial or emails you don't really need. So
that's interesting. Yeah, I have heard from, I think it's Michael Hyatt, the one who created the Full Focus Planner, mm-hmm. that when he takes a break, he has some kind of auto response that says that if you email him, while he's gone, basically, if you can't take care of it yourself, he'll help you when he comes back, but you'll need to send him another email. Otherwise, everything while he's gone is going to be deleted. Oh. And I'm like, that seems so extreme, but at the same time, it's true. Sometimes just taking a break from your inbox is creates more anxiety about what you're coming back to, you know, at least for me, sometimes it can. So I think it's also good to remember that just because you signed up for some emails at one point, that doesn't mean that you have to be a lifelong subscriber. Kind of like you were just saying, you don't have to correspond with people just because you always have either. This sounds maybe a little harsh, but what I'm getting at is that if you do some kind of audit or assessment of your email, it can be a good first step to take. It can help you to quickly weed out what's really unnecessary, and you sort of alluded to that. So the next thing that we recommend doing is, once you've taken some ownership of what you really are working on or reading when it comes to your inbox, and you kind of clear out some of that clutter, the next thing we would recommend is to set up some specific folders for your inbox. And I think I've shared this with you, Veronica, about how I do it. But you can also share, of course, how you handle yours. But for me, I have folders for basically everything that hits my inbox that is actually important for me. If it's not important, it gets deleted. And like you said, if it's something you're deleting over and over again, then just it's time to unsubscribe. But I have a folder for really everything, every client, every colleague, every organization or specific project that requires my attention over email. And I group them together by labels. So I use what's called Google Workspace, which is essentially Gmail for business. It used to be called G Suite. And my folder system has saved me many, many, many times. So the way I set it up, and I'm kind of looking at it here as I'm talking, is that I have labels in groups. So I have a set of folders related to clients, a set of folders related to colleagues, a set of folders related solely to apps that I use, like applications, apps. I have a set of folders related to receipts. So come tax time, I can go and pull any receipts that I need to for my tax preparer. So if it's something like meals, I've got all of those in one place. If it's for advertising, I have all of those in one place. Everything basically that aligns with an item line in my accounting ledger, which I use QuickBooks, by the way, as a side note, if you know what I'm talking about, those little accounts, I have a folder related to that for those types of expenses and receipts. And then from there, under each label, I have, let's say it's for a client. So I'll label a folder so that it falls under a certain category. And by doing this, by categorizing it first, so I'll put like clients, colon, and then the name of the client. Or if it's a colleague, I'll put colleague, colon, the name of the colleague. Mm-hmm. It alphabetizes everybody, right? And so if I need to quickly search for a folder of an entire, you know, client emails or a colleague, or maybe it's something related to the American Translators Association or an app that I pay for or something like that, I can just scroll down my folders and find, okay, I'm looking at it right now. I have app MailChimp, or I have app, let's see, Canva or something like that, right? And so
yeah,
I do the same thing with everybody or everybody's emails. And from there, it's just made it so much easier to find everything that I need without having to search all over the place. And that way, what's actually in front of me in my inbox on a daily basis is much fewer. I don't keep usually any more than 10 emails there at a time, unless they're completely unanswered. Another thing that's been helpful for me with the organization side of things is I get so many emails for the American Translators Association, obviously. As president, I see quite a bit of stuff from all over the association. And so what I do is I have two folders for that, because I only sit in my inbox, I try, for certain times each day. So I have categorized these two as high priority and medium priority. So if something is high priority, it goes into that folder until I make, you know, I have that set time to look at everything, and then I handle all of those first. If it's medium priority, okay, it might take me a couple more days to get back to somebody about. And so I put those at the very top of my inbox by using the at symbol, you know, the at as in that little symbol, you know, like in somebody's email. So at, and that way it pushes it above all of my other folders, because otherwise I think maybe I could use like a numbering system, but I don't want to get into that. So it's like at ATA dash high priority, at ATA dash medium priority. And so that just really works for me, because going into my inbox and seeing a ton of new emails, like what happens every Monday, or I was just telling Veronica, or, you know, if I'm in a meeting, I'll get like so many new emails. The first thing I do is go sort those into those folders, because if it's a bunch of stuff that I can't handle right now and it's sitting in front of me over and over again throughout the day, that creates stress for me. So that's one way that I've gotten around, you know, organizing, so that I can still get back to people in a timely manner, which if you know me, you know I get back to people pretty quickly, but also not cause myself more stress. So Veronica, do you have like a certain filing system that you use in your email that you think is worth sharing?
Yeah, I mean, it's similar to yours, and then I have learned a lot from you as I started the new role in ATA as well. But similar to you, for years, I've been using folders in my inboxes, both my personal and work-related inbox. So in my personal inbox, I have folders for, you know, each kid, and then family emails, maybe friends, you know, receipts, like all these things, travel and so on. That helps me keep things organized. And in my work-related inbox, I have folders for clients, and then for each client, respectively, colleagues. Just networking, marketing, incoming requests from clients, volunteering, continuing professional development. I even have a folder for helpful articles or things I want to come back to and read again, conferences I attend, memberships in various associations. That, especially that folder with like links or emails with articles that I liked and found helpful or want to read again, I have a folder for that. And I also have a folder for ideas and inspiration. So whenever I receive an email and I think like, you know, I want to think about that further, and maybe I want to apply something similar or like think about it again, I move it to my inspiration folder.
So can I ask you a question about the one with the articles? Because I have an inspiration folder too, but sort of similarly, Do you actually go back and read those things? Because I forget about those. Like, if it's not in one of my priority folders, or it's not something I need to save, like a client email or a colleague email, you know, I think I wouldn't go back to it. I would forget. It's sort of like when you bookmark something, like on Instagram or Twitter. I don't go back to those. I have every intention to, but I don't know. It doesn't...
So I don't have like specific times, but you know, scheduled times, like let me go and look in my article folder. But because I named it so that it's higher at the top of my list, I also use like I either use underscore, or I also found it helpful to use emojis sometimes in the folder names, because it helps things stand out. So for the article one, like I have a little emoji with a notebook. So it's kind of higher in the list of folders. And if there are any unread emails there, it's bolded, you know.
Yeah.
So it does stand out, and it does attract my attention from time to time. And then, like, if I see that the number there is increasing, then I'm like, okay, let me see and weed things out. What are some things I don't need anymore? Yeah. What are some things that actually are helpful? And do I actually do something about them? But yeah, a couple of times a year, I would say. And then and then sometimes I would think like, oh, there was this article I read, you know, it has to be topical. Sometimes it comes up in a conversation or something I'm doing for a client, and then I'll go and find a particular article. And so, yeah, I like the folder system, and I also use labels a lot, and I'll come back to them later on. But yeah, I use... Google Workspace, just like you, and I find it so much easier to find things and locate things that you need, and also things you no longer need and delete them. For example, like emails related to a conference you attended 10 years ago, or like receipts that you no longer need because that's from many, many years ago, or you know, something like an app you're no longer using. So you can just click that folder and just delete the whole thing, you know, after scanning it quickly. So yeah, that's my system.
Okay,
so that's how we handle emails that we've already dealt with. But what about those that are incoming or new that we haven't yet seen or replied to? So I flag them. I use the flag marker in Google Workspace, and I mark them unread if I don't want to come back to them right away. Like I open them, I scan them quickly, and then I kind of mentally put them in a category, and then I add a label to them. So labels are a little different in Google Workspace. They're not, you know, they're kind of a little similar to folders, but the email doesn't disappear from your inbox right away. So I add a label to them. I have a couple that I use. I have one that's called to answer urgent. And then I have labels for like, you know, needs an answer. Just in general, it's not urgent. I have one for that's called for info, just some maybe something I was copied on and I don't necessarily have to reply or want to reply, but I kind of want to sit on it. So so these are the three labels I use the most. Needs an answer urgent, needs an answer just regular email, and for info.
Yeah.
And for emails that I need to reply to, but they can wait, I also use the Boomerang app to remove them from my inbox and remind me later. So I'll pick a day and time and say, okay, this isn't like, you know, something's not on fire. It can wait a couple of days, or maybe I want to think about my answer. So I'll pick a day and time, and then Boomerang hides it from my inbox and then brings it up again when it's time to handle it. So that's my approach. What are your thoughts on this, Madalena?
I also use and love Boomerang. I don't think I use it as much as I should. I use the free version, so I think it's like you get 10 Boomerangs a month or something, and I never max out on those, so it's not like I'm, no, because of my folder system, I don't tend to like overdo the Boomeranging thing, but I use Boomerang especially for things that I need to get back to people about, or pay like a membership or something, because you know, sometimes those memberships, they'll email you like 60 days before it's due, and I'm like, ugh, or like my city here has their, local tax or business license tax and all of that, and they do the same thing, and it's not due to like end of January or whatever, so I tend to Boomerang that kind of stuff. Or if there's something that I need to tell myself to do and I need like to attach a file, like I'm trying to think of an example, maybe it's something for the podcast, for example. You know, maybe we want to post something very specific and it needs to be something that happens to be on my phone. I might email myself and actually schedule that email to go out. on a certain day, or if it's coming into my inbox, I'll use Boomerang for something like that to put it back in at the top of my inbox on a certain day at a certain time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as far as, you know, what's incoming and what's new, I mentioned what I do with my ATA emails, prioritizing those just because there are so many. But as far as, you know, other things, I do leave them as unread until I have a chance to deal with them. Mm-hmm. One thing I'm working on and I'm trying to get better at is to not even open an email until I'm ready to deal with it. Because what happens is, and I don't know if this happens to you, you read it and then you start thinking about it. And then this thing is on your mind. And then that actually creates anxiety, you know, because you're continuing to think about this thing that you don't have the time yet to deal with. Mm-hmm. And it can become extremely overwhelming when you get so many emails per day. Yeah. So unless it's from like a few certain people where I know like, okay, I really need to open this, I try not to, because there's little chance that I have time to deal with it right at that time that it hits my inbox. Then it's like, why do I need to add more information to my brain that I can't like deal with this right now anyway? Yeah. And so then I'll be thinking, oh no, now I need to get back to that person. Oh, and this is what I need to tell him. And then that takes up a lot of your time during the day as well. So it's sort of like trying to prioritize what are your most important like duties and tasks and roles, I guess. And then everything else sort of falls into another category. So if it's, let's say it's for a client. Yes, I will probably open something like that even if I cannot reply right away, just to make sure everything is okay, right? But if it's not necessarily that type of relationship, then I try not to open it. Or sometimes I'll open an email by accidenteven because I accidentally click on the wrong one. And I'm like, no, I wasn't ready to deal with that. And then I've already absorbed that information. I don't have time to deal with it. So I really try to be very diligent about certain times of day for a certain amount of time, just dealing with emails and then moving on. But yeah, I won't mark anything as read if I haven't gotten back to it. I also use the, I don't know if you call them flags, but the little system where you can choose in G Suite, or anybody with Gmail can do this, the little symbols that you can update an email to. So like, if I want to get back to somebody, I'll do the one with the exclamation point. If it's just information for me and I don't need to necessarily reply, or I need that information for later, I'll use the little one with the eye that's blue, because that means information. If it's a star, like in yellow, it means it's not really important, but I need to do something with it later, and that's really whenever I can get to it, that kind of thing. So I do those, and I kind of have a mental categorization for those of what I end up, how I end up dealing with them. Yeah, it's just, it's an interesting setup, but everybody has their own thing, you know, so it's interesting too to hear what yours are. And I use the labels as well, but I don't label them while they're in my inbox. So like right now, if I look at my inbox, I have 12 messages only. Because I've moved everything else, right? Until I can handle that. And there are only two that are unread. The rest are like information for something that's coming up. And that's just one of my inboxes. I won't talk about how many inboxes I have because that's a different story. But yeah, that's sort of what I like to do. So another interesting thing that I think we need to share in this conversation is what to do with emails that seem to have a lot of back and forth. And I sort of alluded to this a minute ago. It's very easy for emails to just go back and forth and back and forth. And it's the worst when you're just being copied on them. Because you don't want to be out of the loop, but at the same time, you don't need to reply. So it's just one more thing in your inbox. So one thing I've been thinking of doing, which I have not done yet, is to filter certain emails about certain things. But the problem is that I don't want to filter everything from a single person, right? Because sometimes they're emailing me about something else, but maybe about a certain topic. So I really need to learn more about that. So if anybody has tips on that, you can share them with us. But I used to filter things, and I found that the filters didn't work very well at that time, but that was quite a long time ago. So probably they're better now. But sometimes it just makes more sense to just pick up the phone or get on a Zoom call versus resuming the back and forth. I know that last year for me, all the back and forth on certain messages, and this was like thick of the pandemic. Not that we're not still in the pandemic, but like really in the pandemic, we had so many things going on. Everybody did. And also I was planning, I planned our virtual conference for ATA and then I planned our hybrid conference. And it was just an enormous amount of emails. And I was talking to the professional development manager at the American Translators Association. I said, is this typical? And she said, no, this is not typical. This is like a lot. This is abnormal. And I said, okay, because this is way too much. And there's just so much back and forth. And so for me, when I find that there's just a huge amount of back and forth, I'd rather just like say, okay, you know what, this deserves a meeting, or maybe I don't need to be copied on this anymore, or something like that. Yeah. So how do you handle that kind of thing?
Yeah, it can, I don't have like a rule of thumb. I feel like there are moments like this when I feel that it's been enough back and forth on a specific topic. To me, when there's a lot of emails going, you know, back and forth, especially in a short span of time, it's usually a sign that something is unclear or there's more dialogue needed. So I feel that a phone call can help resolve this. I don't love meetings. I do meetings when needed, but if we can deal with a phone call, it's even better. Of course, that works best when there's just one person to talk to, but when there are several, then some kind of meeting. So I usually think twice when I see a lot of back and forth going on. And then for some projects or initiatives that I work on, I use Slack a lot, and that helps avoid too many emails as well, because we can just, do messages on Slack instead and just get to them whenever.
So that's so fascinating. I mean, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I was talking to one of my coaching students or clients about this, colleague really, but she's in my monthly coaching group, and she said, I like using Slack, but you won't see me being very active here, which is fine. It's completely optional, because she finds Slack, in addition to her email, completely overwhelming. So it just goes to show everybody is so, so different, you know?
Yeah.
And like, I don't mind Slack, but I also don't often think to go check it, because I have a lot of the notifications turned off, because it's just, I just can't handle it. It's too much, you know? So I think that's very interesting. How everybody just operates so differently. And we all try to sort of adapt to each other, but you can only do that so much, right?
Yeah, it's not always possible. And I find Slack or any messenger that just is open all the time, I find it very distracting. So I close Slack. I mean, Slack is the one I use the most. So I close it.
Right.
And I have notifications turned off. And my I have a few clients who have Slack workspaces for people working in their teams, and I just let them know that I don't have Slack running all the time. So if there's something urgent or they need me to confirm a project, they email me. That's just our agreement.
Right. Same here.
So I only open Slack to check if there are any new messages a couple of times a day. I do it in the morning when I first start work, and then I do it in the afternoon before I finish, and that's it for me.
Yeah.
Okay, so now let's get into another topic of our email inbox that many people, including us, at times struggle with, and that is when and how often to check your email work in progress. Let's start by saying that this is going to look different for everyone, and it even looks different for us, in specific stages and phases, I guess, of life and just seasons. Yeah, and I mean, we all realize that answering emails or handling your inbox is not a money-making activity, and it's not going it's not going to propel your business or like bring you closer to your goals, at least not typically. So I said that before, but I remind myself about it every day, and I check email at specific points during the day, and this is just a task on my list, you know, so I know I do it in the morning at a specific time, and then I do it maybe after lunch, and then later in the afternoon, so I don't live in my inbox all day long. There are a couple of exceptions. You know, there may be a client I'm currently working with, and maybe they emailed me an important update about a project I'm working on, or confirmed the deadline or some details I asked about. And maybe a couple of other people who are on my VIP list, and then I will get to their email sooner But again, if I'm working on something, my email is turned off. I'm not even looking at it. It's not on my screen. I have a list of things I must complete on any given day, and email is usually not number one priority. The people who are truly VIPs for me, they have my number, they can call me or text me, and my phone is on mute, but I will see a message if it's truly urgent. I check email in the morning to see if there are any updates or requests from my clients, and then I close my inbox and I focus on the most important task of the day, and I follow my list, I follow my schedule. That's the rule of thumb there. And of course, there are some exceptions sometimes, and then I have to, you know, if I steer off track too much, I have to remind myself of my system. And another thing that I like doing is when I do feel like, okay, now I need to manage my inbox and reply to some emails, I set a timer. I use an app on my computer that, you know, where you can set the timer and it will tell you when the time's up. And so I'll tell myself, okay, I'll do it for 20 minutes because I know I have, you know, maybe I have a gazillion emails to get to, but I only give myself 20 minutes. And then when the timer rings, that's it. So that's my system. What do you think, Madalena? How do you handle this?
I work very similarly. I think we must have talked about this, like not here on the podcast, but I think we must have talked about this many times before because I have a very similar system. So when and how often, let's see. So I try to check my email a few times a day, but around certain times, like it may not be right at the exact time every day that I want to handle it just because things come up. Like this morning I had to take the car to the mechanic, you know, obviously that was time where I would have been in my email inbox. So I check my messages before that. And as far as timing goes, I also try to stick to a 20 to 30 minute rule on email. But then I might check it again later on around lunchtime, like right before I stop for lunch, and then one more time before I go to pick up my daughter from school. And then if there's anything left to handle email-wise, like especially those non-urgent emails, I might handle those at the very end of the day. So let's say 3 to 4 times a day, but I don't have my email on my phone at all, which I've talked about here before. And that has been a wonderful thing, like I have to say. And like you, there are certain people who can reach me if I really have to be reached, but the chances of that happening are very low, and it's very rare that there's something that just can't wait, right, until I come back to my desk or, you know, after a weekend or a holiday or something. So one thing I like to think about, too, because we've talked about prioritizing, but it's also just, you know, thinking about how often to handle your email and when is a really good way to sort of make sure that you're keeping up with things. Because I know some people think, oh, I have to get back to my clients right away. Well, yes and no. I mean, yes, you do. If you are maybe, you know, you have clients who want things turned around like immediately. I try not to work with clients like that anymore because that's just not the way that I can work anymore. And it doesn't work for my lifestyle. It's a big boundary I've set, you know. Any clients who I work with have to be okay with me answering them maybe within a few hours or the next day. And most of them are, well, not most of them, all of them are fine with that. So I think it's important to think about that too. You know, like we set our own boundaries, not just for other people, but also for ourselves. And sometimes we don't think about how our boundaries actually help us. It's not always just about other people because people will respect the boundaries that you set. In fact, I very much respect people who have strong boundaries around their communications. It's just something that I've always thought was very admirable because we just always do, like I said, have so much information being thrown at us at all times. And so, yeah, I'd still get back to people in a very timely manner. If you happen to email me during the time that I'm in my inbox, you might get an immediate response back, right? But if I'm not in there dealing with something, then it probably will be a little bit later. And definitely I'm not looking at it on my phone and stuff. If I'm not at my desk, I'm not seeing your email. And so that's just kind of the way that it goes. And people have to just be okay with that, right? I mean, it's funny. I think this is a bit cultural too. Like here in the United States, there's sort of that running joke, like I'll be on vacation, but you can still reach me at all these numbers, you know, kind of thing.
I'm having surgery. I'll get back to you in an hour.
I'll get back to you. You know, but you know, in other countries, that's not the case. Mm-hmm. And everybody learns to deal with it. And it's just fine. Yes. It's not a big deal. So we need to think about these things. And if you do say, no, no, I have to get back to my clients right away, then it might be time to rethink who your clients are. Like, really, seriously, because that's not a very sustainable way to run your business. Because as you were saying, answering your emails is probably not something that's getting you to reach your goals. You know, yeah, it might get you a new project, but other than that, other than, you know, the actual work that has to be done to get that project done, the email itself is probably one of the least important things. So I touched a little bit on boundaries, but let's talk more about boundaries, actually. What about the evenings and the weekends? I know that this can be really tricky for translators because we tend to work with people in different time zones. And it's also just tricky as business owners because we want to stay connected to our businesses. But if we're too connected, which I was getting at earlier, it can really have a poor effect on your mental and physical health. I know that for me, my inbox can be completely overwhelming at certain times just because I feel like it's a bit like the hamster wheel. Like, you can never keep up. There will always be more messages coming in. As much as you try to clear it out, it doesn't matter. You know, it will always be more. And I know that I have felt burnout many times in my business because of the amount of email that I have to deal with. I know that it's a good problem to have in many ways, but it's also just this overwhelm of communication that it all takes processing. You know, we don't think about it. It all takes a lot of thought. That's why I really try not to open emails unless I can deal with them at that time, or if it's from a very specific person or client, because people don't really consider the fact that opening and closing emails repeatedly, because you consider all the time it takes to think about that, whatever topic it is, whether it's something that's super important or not, you are taking up more brain power and away from your other projects and things that you want to work on that are important to you, because you've now absorbed that information and you're thinking about this thing when you probably want to be thinking about something else you're working on, right? So something that I do, I've taken my email off my phone completely. That's been probably about 2 years now that I've done that. And so I do use tools like you said. I use Boomerang. I also use a tool called Streak, which I think I've mentioned here before, Streak. And I use the scheduling function that comes with Google Workspace or Gmail, because you don't necessarily have to use Boomerang to schedule something. You can use, you know, the scheduling function. And I do that quite a bit. So if something is like at the end of the day and I don't necessarily want somebody's response in my inbox first thing in the morning, because I'm on Pacific time, right? So it's quite likely that that will happen. I'll schedule it to go out the next day at 8 o'clock my time, which is for many people I work with 10, 11 o'clock or if, you know, later, depending on where they are. So I love the scheduling function, and I feel like that's a really helpful thing to do, is to, you know, determine like, okay, think a little bit ahead. You know, if I send this now, they're probably going to have an answer to me tomorrow morning. Do I need that? Do I want that? If I don't really need it or want it, then, it can go out the next day, and that's totally fine. What about you? Do you answer or deal with emails on the evenings and weekends?
As a rule, I don't. It's just, I feel it's unfair to me and my time off, and that's unfair to my family. With any rule, there are sometimes exceptions. If I'm waiting for an important email, of course, I'll check it. Mm-hmm. And I currently do have email on my phone, but I removed it from my home screen. So it's somewhere out there, but it's not like in my face,
There's not that little number staring you down.
No. So that's really helpful. Like, I have to go look for it if I need it. I really like the pause inbox feature in Boomerang. Yes. So that's just such a nice feeling, you know, at the end of the day or on Friday afternoon when I'm closing shop for the weekend, I'll just hit pause inbox.
And, I love that too.
It's like nothing, you know. It's an amazing feeling.
And then you have to think about it, right? To unpause it. You really have to consciously say, am I doing this? Yes, no.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then in a particularly busy or overwhelming season of life, when I either need time during the day to focus, or I need to remind myself and people around me that I am unavailable on a weekend, I will set an autoresponder. So I don't do it all the time, but I have done it in the times that I felt like I needed it. So that I can focus on either resting or my projects. Knowing that people who contact me know that I'm not ignoring them and I will reply when I'm able to.
Right.
But again, that's just something that I feel like I need. And it's really true that any issues we have with our inbox are typically caused by either us feeling that we have to let people know or that we're going to miss something important. But in the times when I have missed, you know, something in my inbox, it was never... It's not like life altering, right?
And Isn't it funny? I was just thinking about this the other day and talking to somebody, and I said, all of these things are self-imposed, truly, because I know, and people who know me know, I will get back to people. I answer my emails. I'm very diligent about it, right? And it's the kind of thing that's like, I don't tend to drop the ball. And if I do, it's so rare that like nobody has ever remembered that. Right. It's, I'm sure you're the same way with that kind of stuff. So because we're so diligent, we think we need to tell people, I'll get back to you. Right. And they're not, nobody's expecting that. We're imposing this on ourselves.
We're training people to think that. Right.
And I
remember when we had the crazy Texas freeze, in, was it March this year? And we had no electricity or, of course, internet or anything for a few days. And I disappeared off the radar. I could not access my email or the internet or even the cellular service. My cell phone didn't work. People, some people never noticed. And other people were like, what happened? You know, like I had, there was maybe truly one or two real emergencies that I had to, you know, walk a mile and find an extra bar on my phone, like a cellular signal, and send a message to a colleague and say, hey, can you help and take over this project for me? Or can you help me out with this, you know, ITA webinar that I was supposed to host? And I can't because I have no electricity in my house. But everything else was fine. Like when I came back to work a week later, there was no real emergencies that I missed or, you know. So it shows how... really how non-critical most of these things are, and we're just telling ourselves that they are. So I think that's probably enough email talk for one episode, though we could probably talk about this for much longer. But it's time to call it a day for this one. But before we wrap up, let's do a smart habit check-in and share a recent read. How does it sound?
Sure, let's do that.
Right, so I'm doing our December challenge that we announced on social media of decluttering something every day for 20 minutes. It can be anything. On some days it's a messy drawer or an old document file. Could be a folder on my computer or even an old folder in my inbox. Sometimes I just unsubscribe from a bunch of emails I no longer want to receive. So it's a really easy, doable thing, and I've been really enjoying it. And it's been really helpful, this Smart Habits for Translators challenge that we started. I found that it really helped me integrate some habits into my daily routine. So it's just been really helpful.
Awesome.
And then for the book, I'm reading Think Again, The Power of Knowing What You Don't Know by Adam Grant.
It's a good book.
I'm loving it so far. Adam Grant is an organizational psychologist. I love following him on social media. I often share his tweets. And this book is just really good. It's all about challenging ourselves, how we think, and how perceptive we are to being challenged by ideas and thoughts that are different from ours. Because we are often attracted to people and opinions that confirm what we believe. So we tend to gravitate towards the same things over and over. And this book teaches how to rethink and unlearn this behavior and start opening up our minds to things that are different, that challenge us, that aren't in line with our beliefs and opinions. And I love this book a lot because I'm just interested in, you know, organizational psychology and group dynamics and how people think and what, you know, sometimes raises conflicts and issues like this. So I find it really interesting. And just the idea that disagreement should not be seen as a threat or something to avoid, but an opportunity to become a little wiser. I find it really refreshing. So
That's such a good book. I love that book. I think I read it in the summer it was great. And I just heard him actually interviewed on a podcast. I'll have to share that episode with you soon. I didn't know that you were going to bring up this book. Cool.
All right. So what about you?
Yeah. So I've also been doing the decluttering challenge this month. And by the way, if you all are not following us, or if you are following us, excuse me, on social media, we can share the hashtag for this in the show notes, because each month we're doing a different challenge. And we've picked the challenge the past 2 months when we started it in October. But now in December, we decided let's let our colleagues and listeners pick the challenge. And so this month, there were some really cool ideas, which I want to remember so we can maybe do those in the future.
Oh, totally.
But this month we thought, okay, end of the year, let's get ready for the new year. Decluttering sounds perfect. And so I've been working on same thing. For me, 20 minutes a day of anything is very doable. I feel like, and you can get a lot done in 20 minutes, right?
Yeah.
The first thing I said I was going to do was wear a few kitchen cabinets that have been calling my name for some time.
Mm-hmm.
Then also I have a stack of papers in a corner of my office that have sort of been building up, things that came from the conference that we were, last month and 2 months ago, some mail, some things I needed to get back to, some notes of mine that I had taken in meetings, things like that. And also, it's a good time for me, at least, to get my office ready for the new year. So I have 2 months of calendar pages up on the wall at a time where I map out things. And I find that that's a really nice way to sort of refresh everything. And so I love this challenge for this month as well. And so let's see, for me, I'm reading a few books at a time right now, which is not what I typically do. But I'm reading a book called Money Mindset. And the author is Kenna Campbell. She's Australian and she has a YouTube channel and a podcast. And I think I've talked to you maybe about her before. I'm not sure. But she is a financial planner. And I love topics related to financial planning and investment. I've read her other book, The $1,000 Project. And this particular book is very interesting because it's about mindset related to money. And I've been doing a lot of research and work on mindset in general the past couple of years, but especially this year, because I'm working on a project as well that requires a lot of thought about mindset. And so this is a different take on mindset, but it's related to finances. And I thought that could be very interesting. And I really like it. The way she has laid out the book, it's very approachable. It's not, stiff reading about finances or investing or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So if you think it's what it sounds like, trust me, it's not. It's very written for the everyday person. And I think it's just really wonderful. So I do recommend that book. And we can link to that in the show notes.
Yeah. Cool. I'll look it up. It sounds great.
Yeah. Oh, and before we go, we wanted to share too today a smart habit hack shared by one of our listeners, Martha Pagans. And Martha wrote to us and she wanted to share this with everybody. And I love this smart habit hack. She says, "One smart habit that helps me to maintain a professional image is using Phrase Express for text expansion. Phrase Express has boosted my productivity and it's great for templated email or social media responses, even when I'm short on time. Since I'm a non-native speaker of German and English, I let colleagues look over some important templates so that when I'm using them, I'm sure there are no mistakes in there." And she also shared that our colleague Nora Diaz wrote an article for the American Translators Association on text expansion. So we're going to link to that as well in the show notes so you can find that. But yeah, loved this one.
Yeah, it's really great. I'm going to look up that tool, and I'm so glad Marta mentioned Nora's article too. It will be really helpful to look at it again.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for today's episode, and it's our last episode of 2021. We'll be taking a break for a bit, but we'll be back in your earbuds in mid-January with a new episode and lots of fun stuff in store. Our email subscribers will get a summary of this episode, including the links to all the resources that we mentioned today. So if you're not receiving your emails yet, please sign up on our website, smarthabitsfortranslators.com, and you'll be the first to know when we're back with a new episode in January.
Yes, we're really looking forward to spending some time with our families and friends over the new year, and we hope that you also have a wonderful start to 2022. In the meantime, we'd love to hear from you if you have any thoughts on this episode or suggestions for future episodes. You can leave a comment on the show notes page for this episode, which you'll find on our website, or you can tag us on social media. We are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. or you can email us at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com.
And if you like this episode, there are a couple of simple ways you can show your support. Please share it with your colleagues and friends and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. This only takes a minute, and we've recorded a quick video tutorial to show you how to do it. We'll link to it in the show notes.
Talk to you soon.
We hope you enjoyed this episode and discovered some simple strategies that you can apply today at work or at home to help you achieve the lifestyle you desire. If you did, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
If you have a topic you want us to cover, please send us a message at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com. If you like this episode, we'd appreciate if you'd leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. And please share the podcast with other translators you know.